everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another wonderful, in-depth conversation that we're going to be having today. And as always, you'll really love my guest because it's just such an enlightening topic. And I know everyone will gain so much wisdom and knowledge and be able to be proactive in your life. Because this program is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make informed decisions regarding your health and well-being. And to me, that's what it's all about. Let's just get the facts. Let's understand what's going on. Get past all the hype, all the propaganda, and be able to really make those choices based on that degree of true insight and access to the facts. So we have another power-packed show for you today. I do want to welcome anyone who's listening for the first time. It's great to have you. Hope you'll be back over and over again. And to help you do that, I actually have a couple of ways where you can receive the archive shows. So if you're not able to listen live, you can go to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know. I post my shows every week there. Or you can opt into my website, which is whatwomenmustknow.com. And if you opt in there, not only will you be sent my weekly archive show, but you'll also get some special reports and be kept informed of all sorts of things that I'm up to and information that I like to share. So, you know, go to both places. Go to my Facebook page, like me at What Women Must Know, opt in at whatwomenmustknow.com, and continue the journey of getting informed and empowered. So, I recently attended the Natural Products Expo, which had an attendance, I think, about 88,000 people from all over the world. It was the biggest show, and this is something I do on an annual basis. I network, and I see what's going on. I learn about new products because I'm always on the hunt for the next big thing, something that's really going to make a difference. And there's so many interesting, innovative products, formulations coming out. The Natural Products Expo is a place to be if you really want to know what's happening in the world, especially in the world of holistic and natural formulations and such. So I only had a brief time, only had a day and a half there, and I had one appointment set up, and I agreed to visit this booth. I knew nothing about the person I was going to meet. I knew nothing about the product that was presented at this booth, but it was my first appointment and really the only appointment I had during the show. So I sat down and I met this delightful person named Kiran Krishnan. And Kiran was very generous. He gave me an hour of his time explaining about sporebiotics. Now, this is something I never heard of before. It was totally new to me, but it just fascinated me. And as we pursued the conversation, and so we got more and more into depth in the conversation, a little light bulb started going off within my brain, and I went, oh my God, this is a truly spectacular product. This is a product that is a real game changer for one's health. And since then, I have investigated the product. I've talked to people who are using the product. I have found out that some of the most respected people in the holistic world, in the world of integrative medicine, are using this product. So I feel like we're really on to something quite special. And therefore, I have invited this delightful person, who is Kiran Krishnan, to be with us today and to explain what I call the revolution for healing our gut microbiomes. So let me just share a little bit about Kiran to you. He is a research microbiologist whose focus is the human biome and wellness, with his particular expertise in the newest frontier of microbiology, gut commensal spore bacteria. Kiran is a frequent lecturer, largely to national and international medical audiences, but also as an expert guest on live radio and satellite podcasts. Coming from a strict research background in the field of molecular medicine and microbiology at the University of Iowa, over the past 17 years, Kiran has conducted dozens of human clinical trials in human nutrition through the clinical research organization he established. In addition to his recently published groundbreaking leaky gut study showing reversal of gut enteropathy within 30 days. Kieran is currently involved in 7 other ongoing human clinical trials testing the effect of gut commensal spore probiotics on conditions such as AIDS, HIV, gut enteropathy, thyroid, Hashimoto's, irritable bowel syndrome, liver failure, as well as longer, more extensive leaky gut trials. So he has so much amazing information to share about our gut microbiome and how to heal it and regenerate our health as a result. It's my pleasure to welcome Kieran Krishnan to the show today. Hello, Kieran.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for that amazing introduction. And, and of course, all your time that I've had the pleasure of getting to talk to you and discuss things. So thank you so much.
Well, I probably could go on even longer, but I thought that was enough. We have things to discuss, Kieran, because you're doing incredible work. You know, you're really
thank
on the
you.
Forefront. You're a true pioneer in this emerging. It's pioneering work in understanding our microbiome. So that's where we're going to begin today. We're going to begin by laying the foundation of explaining what is this term microbiome and why is it extremely relevant for our ability to heal and stay healthy.
Yeah, so that is such an important question and probably to me one of the most important things that people need to understand to ensure that they're giving their body the best shot at wellness and health. And actually a really interesting analogy to that just occurred a couple of days ago. My daughter, who's 4, she wanted her first fish tank. And so my wife went out and got her a fish tank. We filled up the water with the water from the tap. And then the first couple of fish we put in there died within a day. And then we went back to the fish tank and got a couple more fish, the store, and got a couple more fish. And the next couple died within a couple of hours. And as it turns out, the reason why these fish aren't surviving is because the water is too sterile. There's no bacteria in it, you know, because we're using filtered water to fill the tank. And that just illustrates the importance that bacteria play in living organisms. And that couldn't be more true for the human body. You know, we are a walking, talking rainforest, I always say. What we are is an ecology made up of thousands of different species that have to communicate and work together in order to perpetuate the health of the entire collection. That, in fact, there's a super nerdy scientific term for that. It's called holobiome. And holobiome basically means a super organism. You know, we've got about 10 trillion cells that make up the human body. Those are the human cells that we're aware of and we see. But then we've got over 100 trillion bacteria cells that live in and on our system. So we've got 10 times more bacteria cells than we have human cells. And even more fascinating than that is our DNA, right? So we always thought that our DNA controlled everything about us. The goal of the Human Genome Project was to identify all of the genes associated with every disease that the human encounters. But as it turns out, once we sequence our entire genome, we've got about 22,000 genes in our chromosomes. And that sounds like a lot, but then when you compare it to like a rice plant that has over 40,000 genes, or an earthworm that has something like 38,000 genes, you know, we are half as sophisticated as an earthworm is. And then the question is, how is it that we are at the top of the food chain, at the top of the evolutionary ladder? How are we such cognizant beings and so advanced? Well, as it turns out, we've got over, I think it's 3.5 million bacterial genes in our system that we utilize every single day. So more than 90% of all of the biochemistry, of all the chemical and biological reactions that occur in our body to make us who we are, to allow us to talk like we talk, walk like we walk, have the world view that we do, metabolize our food, bring in nutrients, assimilate them into our organ systems. All of those things are dictated by microbial genes. So bacteria within our body dictate how all of those aspects function. You know, so when you think about all of these decades and centuries of medical research and scientific study on the human being and how our bodies function and how we would repair or prevent disease, we've only been looking at less than 10% of ourselves. the other 90%, which is the microbes that control everything else, has just recently been discovered. So we're in one of the most exciting times I can think of in modern medical history, because we are finally understanding how we are made, who, what we're made of, and how do we control it.
Well, I know this is a frontier in understanding the microbiome and its huge impact. You know, it's exciting to understand this if we also have the strategies and effective solutions to heal the microbiome, because we're under such attack, and our microbiome is under such attack from our foods that we eat, the toxins we have, the pharmaceutical drugs we take, from the stress we endure. So let's talk about some of the challenges to the microbiome and how that those challenges and things we're doing are impacting the health of our microbiome and the consequences of the challenges to those microbiome when they're not functioning optimally as they should.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, inevitably we have developed a world that is the perfect antagonist to our healthy microbiome. The modern world that we live in has been designed exactly how you would design an environment to actually work against our microbiome. And, you know, I always refer to the microbiome as an ecology. And the word ecology is important because ecology is made up of all types of different organisms that work together in sync. And that can be bad and good organisms, the way we would label bad or good things. So our microbiome also contains what we would consider to be harmful or pathogenic organisms. But then, of course, it has a lot of beneficial, mutualistic organisms as well. But it's all about the balance. Right. And so we have inadvertently targeted certain groups of bad bacteria with antibiotics and so on. And that causes more disruption than benefit. So some of the things that we do on a regular basis that really impact the microbiome are even the water we drink that contains chlorine in it, that contains fluoride in it. These things are strong antimicrobials over time. So small amounts of exposure to them over time will cause a disruption in the ecology of the microbiome. The antibiotic use, of course, and even the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, estimates that as much as 50% of antibiotic prescriptions are not for beneficial use, meaning at least for viral infections or other things that they can't really help. So we're definitely using a lot of antibiotics that we don't need to use. And antibiotics decimate the microbiome, as you can imagine. Of course, then we have antibiotics in our food supply. You know, every cow and pig and chicken that is raised in this industry, in this country for feeding the population is given antibiotics. And those antibiotics, about 80-85% of them have not been tested for safety in humans, and yet they are being fed to the food that we consume. And then on top of that, we have things like pesticides and herbicides. You know, glyphosate, the Roundup, the stuff in Roundup, is one of the worst types of antibiotics you can be exposed to, because it not only does it kill bacteria, but it selectively kills good bacteria. And in fact, it promotes the growth of bad bacteria like Clostridia, Klebsiella, certain types of E. coli and Salmonella. These types of bacteria do well in the presence of Roundup and glyphosate, and good bacteria like your lactobacillus and your bifidobacteria and your acromantia, these types of bacteria tend to die very easily in the presence of these types of weed killers and herbicides that you find, of course, not only on our food supply, but a lot of people are using it around their house, you know, to clean up the gardens and clean up their flower beds and so on. We also have, of course, electronic pollution, you know, EMFs, that come from your Wi-Fi, from your cell phone and all that. We now know that radiation from these devices does increase the virulence or the ability to infect of different viruses and bacteria that live within your system. The air itself is highly polluted with toxic chemicals, gassing off from paints and gassing off from glues and primers and acrylics, all of these things that are used on the various household, furniture and devices that we have. And then of course, you know, at the end of the day, the big issue is that we don't get enough exposure to helpful bacteria in the environment. You know, our ancestors lived in dirt and ate dirt. They lived in the environment. They, you know, when babies were born, they were put in dirt. They drank waters out of rivers and streams. They didn't sterilize their food supply. So they consumed the environment as they lived and evolved through it. We have separated ourselves from the natural environment quite distinctively by building concrete jungles that most of us live in and work in. And so not only are we doing all of these things to affect the balance of good and bad bacteria in our guts, we also get virtually no exposure to the protective types of bacteria that are found in the natural environment. And when you put those two things together, it leads to a disastrous consequence for our internal ecology. And we now know that those simple imbalances are the root cause of disease that we experience.
So we're going to go into some of the conditions that are generated from a compromised microbiome. And I just want to add one other thing that I don't think you mentioned, but at least I found it in the research when I was doing my work on hormones, and that is the impact of things like the pill, the birth control pill, HRT.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They actually have a kind of an antibiotic effect in the microbiome, altering that environment as well. Is that true, Karen? I mean, that's what I've read, but you tell me. You're the expert.
No, absolutely. You have it right. That certainly has a huge impact. And of course, you know, girls start birth control pill at a very early age, and we've seen the physiological changes, the increased risk for things like endometriosis and polyp development and cervical cancers and all of these kind of things that increase in prevalence over the last 40, 50 years. Now, following up on that, then there's other things like xenobiotics and xenoestrogens and all these chemicals that are in personal care products that mimic hormone function, that mimic estrogen function, that act also as antibiotics, of course, because they are preservatives, they're bacteriostatics. So our personal care product line is also really a detriment to our ecology and our hormone balancing. You know, and most people don't realize that there's so many phytoestrogens and xenoestrogens out there in the personal care space, all of these chemicals that mimic hormone function within the body that completely throw off the balance.
Which reminds us how important it is to really choose products that are organic, that are green, that are proven to have purity. And purity to it and pure ingredients in them, because it all makes a huge difference. It's all getting inside us, whether it's being absorbed through our skin into the bloodstream or whether we're ingesting them or breathing them in, eating them, breathing. It's all affecting the microbiome on the outside as well as on the inside of our body.
Absolutely. You know, and one of the things I always remind people, like, you know, if anyone has kept and grown plants within their house, we know how sensitive they are. You know, you have to water them. They have to get the right amount of light, and so on. And, you know, any personal care product that you have that you wouldn't go and rub on your plant or pour in the soil of your plant and know that it would, you know, it wouldn't kill them or would kill them, you shouldn't be using on your body, right? And we wouldn't take these shampoos that we have or these cleansers that we have that have 50 different ingredients in them, most of them we can't pronounce, and pour that into the soil of our potted plant. Right? We know more than likely that's going to kill the plant. And if we can't use it on our plants, we shouldn't be using it on our bodies. And the reason is because those things, you may not realize an immediate harm, but those things do disrupt the ecology in the body.
So there were some staggering statistics that talk about what are the consequences when we compromise a healthy microbiome. And we can pretty much state most of us do not have a healthy, optimal gut microbiome at this point in time. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, and we tested this in the study we published last year. We were looking at the microbiome of healthy young college students. You know, these are people with no disease in the prime of their lives, no obesity, no defined conditions at all, no history of any conditions, of normal weight, healthy, in our view, healthy, in societal views is healthy. And we tested them to see how effectively healthy their microbiome is in doing what is fundamentally the most important thing, and that's protecting the host, and protecting the host from something that we all have to do every single day, which turns out to be the most toxic thing we do every single day, which is eating food, right? So just the process of eating food creates a tremendously toxic event in the digestive tract that the microbiome is supposed to protect us from, so that none of those toxic byproducts of digestion enter into the circulatory system. And the way they protect us from that is just by beefing up the stomach lining. So there's a nice mucosal layer on top of the intestinal lining that protects it, and then the intestinal lining itself remaining closed rather than open. And that's the term that people hear about, leaky gut. And we basically looked at the type of leaky gut that has been shown by even large research institutes like the American Diabetic Association, who's been doing a lot of work on this area because they're looking for the root cause of diabetes. And what we're finding is the type of leaky gut and then the resulting type of inflammation that occurs during the process of digestion was present in about 55% of the healthy young college kids that we screened. And that was surprising because these people are seemingly healthy. There's no disease, there's nothing, no symptoms. And then they're in the prime of their physical life, and 55% of them have such toxic response to eating food that previous studies on this same topic showed that it takes the body almost 2 weeks to recover from a single meal. The amount of toxicity and the amount of inflammation that occurs from a single meal takes the body almost 2 weeks to recover from.
So they appeared healthy but had things brewing within them that, if not corrected down the track, would manifest as some sort of health condition, illness, whatever.
Absolutely, yeah. I call it the cauldron of disease, right? So it's brewing in there, and the way it manifests itself in their late 20s, early 30s, and beyond will depend on other environmental factors, some genetic components as well. But what's so interesting is that the type of inflammation that is triggered by the process of eating and digestion is the same type of inflammation that the American Heart Association now agrees is the main driver of heart disease. The American Diabetic Association agrees and has published papers showing that it's the main, the initial onset of type 2 diabetes and the main driver of type 2 diabetes. Big research studies coming out of some of the best universities in the U.S. have shown that this same inflammation is the primary cause of Alzheimer's. It's the primary cause of Parkinson's disease. It's the primary driver of autoimmune disease. And the American Diabetic Association, along with other research institutes, show that it's also the primary driver of obesity and everything that falls under the metabolic syndrome cascade. And then there's a significant amount of research showing that it's also the primary driver of cancers, of various types of cancers, especially bowel cancers, so colon cancer. So this singular source of inflammation, a lot of it is driven by a toxin called LPS, lipopolysaccharide, that comes from certain groups of bacteria within the gut. When that LPS toxin leaks into your circulatory system during a meal, that sets off this inflammatory cascade that becomes the major driver of virtually all of these chronic illnesses.
Yeah, that's such an awesome thought when you think about how profound the influence of our gut microbiome is as a progenitor, initiator of all these chronic illnesses that are plaguing our society. And we try to kind of, mm-hmm. Get after them with supplements, and we try to, do our anti-inflammatories, but we're not getting to the root cause from which
right.
these conditions are arising.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, relating all of those things becomes really important. You know, you had mentioned in the introduction, we're doing all of these clinical trials. We're actually up to 10 clinical trials right now. And we're doing things like, for example, we're doing a study on rheumatoid arthritis. At the same time, we're doing a study on gingivitis and with the same product, right? And so then the question is, what in the world does your knee pain have to do with your gums? Right. And a lot of people would be very confused by how that could ever be related. But the same cause, the same root cause that is driving the rheumatoid arthritis is the exact same thing that's driving gum disease. You know, and that's what's so interesting is that if we fix that primary issue, we fix that leakiness of the gut, if we fix that LPS toxin from moving from the tube in the gut called the lumen into the circulatory system, if we can stop that, we can stop the primary cause of things like, of course, heart disease, diabetes that we talked about, but also things like rheumatoid arthritis, gum disease. We're also starting with UC Davis, the dermatology department, a study on acne and rosacea. It's also the main driver of that. You know, so it's really amazing to think of the things we can help by fixing one critical broken system that exists in the vast majority of us in the Western world.
So before we get to that solution, a couple other things I just want you to help people understand. You talked about the LPS, those toxins that are, if they are released into the circulatory system, they generate all this inflammation. Mm-hmm. So that could only happen if a condition called leaky gut exists. So can you define that for people? Because it's a term we hear a lot, it's bantered around a lot, but I don't know how well people understand what it means and why it's an important issue to heal and how it's underpinning so many of our health challenges these days.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really important thing for people to understand. So, you know, one of the things that people often confuse is that the big barrier between the outside world and the inside of our bodies are skin. And we know that not to be true. The biggest barrier that separates the outside world from the inside of our body, the circulatory system in our body, is the gut lining. And then the mucosal surface that covers the gut lining, which also covers virtually every orifice in our body, in our nose, our lungs, our eyes, everything has a mucus layer that actually protects it. So when we look at our digestive tract, which is all in all about almost 30 feet, 27 to 30 feet, it has a huge surface area. It's got the surface area of a professional tennis court if we were able to open it up and lay it all out. So it's got this huge surface area. Imagine a professional tennis court. All of that surface area is folded up into your torso and put in there. And so that's a large amount of surface area that is encountering all kinds of things from the outside. So basically everything that we're breathing in, everything that we're swallowing and we're drinking, everything that comes in beverages, foods, all of the bacteria we get exposed to, all of that stuff is going through that surface area. That surface area has two layers that protects it that doesn't allow for things that shouldn't go from the intestinal tube into the circulatory system. And that's the mucus layer that we talked about. And then below the mucus layer is a one cell thick lining we call the intestinal epithelial layer. And that's really the gut lining, the barrier. And at the end of the day, these two barriers, this mucus barrier and this gut lining, are supposed to allow nutrients through, vitamins and minerals and amino acids and fatty acids, all of the important things we need to absorb from our food and our environment, but they're not supposed to allow things like toxins, bacterial components, viral components, herbicides, pesticides, all the chemicals, all of that stuff through. So it's supposed to be selective. And what happens, what we've figured out is that the microbiome, the 100 trillion or so bacteria that cover the surface, are the gatekeepers for dictating whether or not you have an effective barrier against all the negative stuff and at the same time a good barrier to allow the good stuff in. When your microbiome gets perturbed, when your ecology gets off, then the mucus layer doesn't function the way it's supposed to, and the lining of the intestines open up, the spaces in between the cells open up, and that makes that whole system leaky. So at this, when the system is leaky, then every time you eat food, or every time anything comes into your system, it can non-specifically just move across those barriers, the mucus barrier and the cell line, and then move into your circulatory system. And once it's in the circulatory system, your body freaks out because these things aren't supposed to be in there. Viruses, bacteria, bacterial components, bacterial toxins, all these things are not supposed to be in there. And when they're in the circulatory system where they're not supposed to be, the body initiates this really massive inflammatory immune reaction to try to protect itself. And most of the diseases we deal with, about 85% of the chronic illnesses we deal with, start off because of a chronic activation of this inflammatory process. You know, and so every time we breathe, walk, talk, eat, we're getting these things leaking through when they're not supposed to get into the circulatory system. The body elicits a major immune response. That major immune response actually ends up damaging our tissue and causing further and further dysfunction in how the immune system works. So that, you know, that's just the cascade of, that's the cauldron of disease I always talk about. So if we have this constant inflammation going on because of all of these things leaking from the digestive tract into the circulatory system, that constant inflammation is the root cause of most of these chronic conditions that we talk about. So that's why addressing the leakiness of your gut is so important, because, you know, you could take a condition that the leaky gut caused, for example, take diabetes, and you could try to adjust your diet, you could exercise more. You know, if you're seeing a doctor, he or she might put you on metformin. You might be taking certain shots of insulin, but the driver of the disease, the leakiness of the gut, is still there, continuously pushing the disease forward. So you can just barely manage the disease. You can never recover from it. You know, and so I always say we have to stop the root cause of these conditions, and that's the leakiness of the gut. If we don't do that, with virtually every condition, we're taking one step forward and two steps back.
So this is such an important point that I really want to drive home to everybody, is the bottom line to support the healing of whether it's any kind of autoimmune disease, however it manifests, all these other chronic conditions. In fact, most chronic conditions are considered autoimmune in some way or other, has to go back to the gut and healing the gut. And often people don't even realize they have a problem with the leaky gut. They just see all these conditions starting to show up, or depression or anxiety, which also is a sign of an impaired gut microbiome. So this is why I am so excited, Karen, I have to say, about the role of sporebiotics. And this was a new term to me, and I'm sure it's a new term to most people listening to the show. So let's talk about what this phenomenal solution for leaky gut and so many other things is all about.
Yeah, so that's, the way we really discovered these particular types of bacteria, these spore-based bacteria, and their ability to protect us as a host was really not trying, was by taking the approach of not trying to outsmart nature. You know, give nature the respect it deserves for what it has created, and us as scientific explorers go out there and find what nature has already created for us. One of the problems I have with many of the probiotics on the market is that, you know, we've been trying to outsmart nature. We've been trying to reseed the gut with huge doses of bacteria because they don't survive the stomach. We're putting, special coatings around them, wrapping them in seaweed and all kinds of crazy stuff, trying to outsmart nature. And we took a moment and just said, okay, you know, this leaky gut, this dysfunction in the barrier system of the intestinal lining is such a huge problem because it drives most chronic illnesses. And in the age of modern medicine, we have a way of managing some of those diseases so we can continue to live under a managed condition. But if our ancestors had this kind of leaky gut, they would have never made it as a species, right? So if our ancestors developed heart disease or diabetes or cancer, they would have never made it. There's no treatment for it 10,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago. So our question was, how did the ancestors prevent from getting this leaky gut? And so looking at ancestral behavior, they basically, you know, ate a non-sterile food supply. They got a lot of exposure to dirt. And then we saw big studies that showed that people that live in rural areas versus urban areas have much better, healthier microbiomes, have less leaky gut, have less inflammation. So there was some real good, strong evidence that being closer to nature, being more exposed to dirt, actually affected the health of your gut lining, and your body's ability to handle the environment. And so we went back and said, okay, what are the bacteria within the dirt that our ancestors could have used as probiotics, inadvertently, of course, because they didn't specifically take probiotics. And so we found these really interesting spore-based bacteria that have been on Earth. The oldest one that's ever been discovered was found in the salt crystal in a salt cave in Southern California. They were able to melt it out of the salt crystal, and they could still plate it, meaning they could still grow it up, and it was 250 million years old. Right, so these bacillus spores have been here for a long time, way before humans ever were. And in glacial ice core studies, where they've been able to study the environment 2 million, 3 million, 4 million years ago, they've been able to show that these particular spore-based bacteria were very abundant in the environment throughout the course of human evolution. So we said there's got to be some tie there to the presence of these bacteria and the potential protective role that it has within the gut. So that's what we started studying. And as it turns out, based on this study we published last year and numerous studies that we're doing this year, when you add these strains into your system, they start to rebalance the dysfunctional ecology. They do this in several different ways. One is they actually use a mode of bacterial sensing called quorum sensing, where bacteria can read each other's chemical signatures, and they can find bad and overgrown bacteria, actually sit next to them in the gut, and produce up to 25 different antibiotics in that little environment to kill off the bad bacteria. So they actually, you know, in an intelligent way, specifically kill bad bacteria. Now, here's the amazing part about it, is at the same time, they will produce prebiotics to regrow your good bacteria. So they're like the gut police, or the gut, if you think of your gut as a garden, they're the gardener of our gut, you know, and so they fix the imbalance, and we know that the imbalance is really the start of problems. Now, that mucus layer I mentioned, one of the things that really stimulates the reproduction of the mucus layer and engineers the mucus layer to be firm and protective and act as a real barrier is the production of something called butyrate. And these bacteria produce very high levels of butyrate within the body, within the gut, the digestive tract specifically, and that butyrate stimulates the release of more of this mucus layer so that it can be regenerated on a regular basis and still retain its barrier type of function. Then the other thing, you know, I mentioned the intestinal epithelial cells, those, that single cell lining and how the gaps between those cells can occur. Those gaps are controlled by something called tight junction proteins. And there are 40 or so proteins that keep those cells closed together so that all kinds of stuff doesn't leak through. And as it turns out, these particular bacteria upregulate or increase the expression of all of those tight junction proteins so that those cells remain nice and sealed. So they're fixing the imbalance. All of this imbalance that we cause by daily living in this polluted environment that we live in, they're fixing that. They're going in and refixing the mucus layer so it acts as a really good barrier to things. And then they're closing up the gaps between the tight junctions. And then even more than that, they start modulating how the immune system responds to the environment around us. One of the big problems that occurs within the immune system is the very first part of the immune system is an inflammatory response. And an inflammatory response is fine as long as it's short-lived. You know, it should be for the first day or first 48 hours or something like that. Then the immune system should move towards an adaptive response where it's tolerating whatever the issue is, or it's removed whatever the issue is. And so what we find out now is that disease starts when the immune system goes haywire and never gets out of that inflammatory response state. And as it turns out, these bacteria can shuttle the immune system to the non-inflammatory, more potent response than keeping it in the inflammatory state.
Well, those are all such powerful effects from taking these types of spore bacteria. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how profound it is, because I've been dealing with an autoimmune disease, and in fact, I think there's a study that you did with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which was, I think of it in the past. I don't think I have it anymore, especially because I've been taking these probiotics. But this is the most common form of thyroid imbalance, of hypothyroidism. 80% of women are diagnosed with Hashimoto's as the cause of their sluggish thyroid or impaired thyroid function. And you did a study with probiotics on this. Can you tell us what happened, what you found?
Yeah, so the study is actually ongoing. But we do have some preliminary data on it, and we've had hundreds and hundreds of case trials done on it. That's why we went to a larger scale study. What's so fascinating about it is that, you know, Hashimoto's is such a multi-symptomatic disease. The women suffer from so many different types of symptoms, all of which are debilitating in some way or the other. But you know, you can have the fatigue and the anxiety and the depression, as well as metabolic issues and hair loss, and you know, the symptoms are really varied. But one of the things that we measure, of course, is quality of life. So we're looking at things like, you know, the brain fog. We're looking at things like the anxiety, the depression. But then there are very specific biomarkers that you can look at as well, like the, you know, anti-thyroid antibodies. You can look at the inflammatory markers and so on. And what we were seeing is that after a few months, on average, probably about 3 or 4 months, we could see a significant drop in their thyroid antibodies. And then a lot of times the women are going into full remission, meaning no more presence of antithyroid antibodies in their biomarker testing after about 6-7 months. So they're in full remission of the condition. And of course, all of the symptomology goes away after that as well. The brain fog lifts, the depression and anxiety issues get better. The hair loss, one of the first subjects that we did with Hashimoto's, she had been suffering with Hashimoto's for about 10 years, and her biggest issue was the hair loss, and she was going to a hair specialist that would actually count the density of the hair every 3 months or so, and she had been tracking it. And she started on the spore-based probiotics, and after about 3 months, she started to notice that the hair was not dropping out anymore. And then after about 6 and 8 months, they started actually seeing an increase in the density of the hair. So, you know, and that was the most important thing to her, you know. And so it's fascinating to see the changes that are occurring in people's bodies once you start putting the body back in homeostasis, putting it back in balance, and stopping that that cauldron of continuously brewing disease.
And I think it's worth re-emphasizing the fact that Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease. If you can go back to the source of what's generating this overactive immune response, which is a leaky gut, impaired function of the gut, you can address any expression of an autoimmune disease, which there are many of, but it's all coming from a similar source. You know, I want us to be sure to talk about a couple other things, Karen. I want us to let's talk about the role of the spore biotics in producing antioxidants endogenously.
Yeah, that's so important. So these are there's a fascinating strain in the product that we do all the research with and all that. The spore-based probiotic, there's a strain called Bacillus indicus. And Bacillus indicus is a very interesting strain because it goes and it colonizes in your digestive tract, and it sits there and it consumes carbohydrates and proteins and things that are coming in through your diet, and it turns around and converts those into carotenoids or antioxidants. And some of the most potent carotenoids, for example, astaxanthin, zeaxanthin, lutein, lycopene, alpha and beta carotene, these are the antioxidants that it's producing at RDA levels, at the recommended daily allowance levels. So it's becoming this amazing nutrient factory in your gut. And since it's producing it at the site of absorption, the bioavailability of your body's ability to absorb and utilize those antioxidants are far greater than even antioxidants coming in from food sources like colored fruits and vegetables, or even supplements that people take, you know, the astaxanthin or the beta-carotene or lutein that people take. And what we're finding is that these antioxidants,
oops, I think we lost Kieran for a moment. Maybe his battery went dead. Oh, dear. Just the kind of drama I don't look forward to when I do these interviews. So I'm going to, while we get Kieran back, share a little bit about my experience with these products. So I started taking these Sporebiotics. I'm taking the professional formula. It has more strains that seem to be even more effective. And one of the conditions that I've struggled with most of my life that was kind of showing up was I guess it'd be psoriasis. Never sure if it's eczema or psoriasis, but it was affecting my skin, in particular area on my ankle. And it's been around for, you know, a couple of months. And since I've been taking the Sporebiotics, which has been about maybe 2 weeks, I notice that my skin is clearing up, and I'm not doing anything different other than just incorporating the Sporebiotics into my protocol. So I find that really impressive, to say the least, because I'm my own little guinea pig with these products. And that's why I wanted Kieran on, and trust he'll come back soon. But something else I wanted him to say, and if he doesn't come back on soon, then I'm going to say it. And that has to do with the role of the gut in generating your important neurotransmitters that impact your moods. So anxiety, depression, even memory issues are directly related to the health of your gut. And if you're dealing with a dysbiosis gut, which is a gut that has an overgrowth of inappropriate bacteria, if you're dealing with a leaky gut, then you are vulnerable to emotional imbalances as well. You're vulnerable to anxiety and depression. So think about that. If we create a healthy gut, we are able to actually address and resolve, in many cases, I'm not saying it's the only one, the only way to go, but I think it's a pretty important one, a fundamental one, as we've been talking about, helping to resolve anxiety and depression, which is, you know, phenomenal. And more of those neurotransmitters are made in your gut than in your brain. We think of them as coming from the brain, but they're actually made in the gut. So the Sporebiotics are increasing the production of the neurotransmitters that help to create more balanced moods. One other thing that I think is really important, and that has to do with autism. And I was listening to an interview just a few days ago of a doctor who helped to cure his son of autism. And he used a range of protocols. But he said something that really struck home to me. He said, you have to heal the gut in autistic children. And there are studies that I know Kieran is conducting. I know that Kieran speaks at autism conferences because autistic children have classical imbalances of their microbiome, and they've cultured what goes on in the gut of children with autism and have found these pathogenic microbes. Oh, I think we have Kieran back. Kieran?
I'm back, yes. Yeah,
oh, good. I've been pitch hitting for you, Kieran. I've listened to so many of your lectures. I've just been sharing the information, and I've just been sharing about autism. And what's happening to these children who are taking the Sporebiotics, and how the gut and some of the pathogenic bacteria have been cultured in the gut of autistic children, and how it's a critical piece of healing autism. Do you want to comment further on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things we know very clearly, and this is out of research over the last 6-7 years, is that children on the spectrum, ASD kids, have a very specific type of microbiome. They tend to have very high levels of certain types of Clostridia bacteria, like Clostridia tetani or botulinum, or Boltae is one of the main ones. And these types of Clostridia bacteria seem to produce toxins inside that mucus layer during the early development stage, and those toxins have a lot of neurological destructive effect. And so, you know, it's getting to a point where you could take a one-year-old and look at their microbiome type and actually see that they will have an increased risk of developing spectral disorders. And there was an experiment that was done that took kids who were just at the age of around 2.5, I think, that were just displaying symptoms of being on the spectrum, and they put them on a high vancomycin treatment, and then the symptoms disappeared. So they were demonstrating that the bacteria are the ones that are causing the issue, and if you kill them off, the issue will stop. The only problem with the antibiotic is that, you know, the moment you stop it, it comes right back, right? So
or you're disrupting the microbiome even further with the vancomycin.
Even further. It's not a solution, but what they were able to show is that the bacteria are the cause of it. And so that became really interesting, because then you start to look at, okay, what is a reasonable way of controlling those microbes? And those microbes are Clostridia species. They are spore formers. They are robust bacteria within the gut. And they are the same kind of species that we've been targeting in many of our research studies. So we know that these spore formers that we work with, the Bacillus spore formers, seem to be effective at targeting the Clostridia spore formers. And so when we use the product with kids on the spectrum, we see such profound changes within the first few months, and a lot of it starts with just improvements in the digestive system. You know, studies have shown, and this was a study done at Stanford, I think, where up to 90% of kids on the spectrum have correlative digestive disorders as well. You know, and it can be just simple things like food intolerances to really severe issues like Crohn's and colitis. But they all have some sort of digestive dysfunction. And so what we start to see is that we start to fix the digestive issues first, and then once the digestive issues start to get better, we know we're getting a profound change in the microbiota and the microbiome in the gut. And then once those things start to change, we start seeing the behavioral changes as well. You know, so it's just so exciting and profound to see the types of changes we can make, you know, in the life of a child by utilizing a probiotic that can actually create that functional change that is needed to put the gut back into its more normal status.
And I think you touched on some conditions that go far beyond children on the spectrum. We're talking about Crohn's disease and colitis and irritable bowel syndrome,
right,
or disease, and even people with allergies. All of these are from a compromised gut microbiome and can be resolved, can be healed with correction, diet, stress, and the spore biotics.
Absolutely. You know, that's what's absolutely, yeah. You hit the nail on the head. That's the thing I always try to impress when I do a talk and lecture, is that we live in a very exciting time because we
Oh, no. Okay. Well, I don't know what happened to Kieran, something with his phone. But I just want to complete what he was saying, because I do think it's an exciting time. I think that we are finding solutions, getting to what Kieran said to me one time, which was really profound. What spore biotics is providing the root cause for the root cause. So we're getting to the root cause of the root cause. We're getting to something that actually is going to has been proven. Clinical trials, which is very rare in the world of probiotics to have a clinical trial based on the exact product that we're talking about. So there are all these ongoing studies that are using the spore biotics product to demonstrate what's possible. I was just saying,
I'm back.
Welcome back again. I don't know where you go.
Yeah,
but
thank you for all
back.
The pinch hitting.
It just
goes mute out of the blue for some reason. I don't know why.
It's so bizarre.
But yeah,
but
what
I was
were
just,
you saying?
I was just saying that the thing about this Sporebiotics product is that you're doing clinical trials based on the very Sporebiotics product, not just referencing other studies that aren't dealing with the specific ingredients, the specific product, which is very rare.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, what I found when I was researching the probiotic industry was that the vast majority of companies, the products they have on the market, they'll say clinically studied, clinically researched, but what they mean is that the strain that they're using in some other form was clinically studied at some point, not necessarily the one that they have in the formula or in formulation with all the other strains. You know, so it's a big scientific leap to say that I studied this, researcher A in this other part of the world studied this strain, I'm using a version of that strain in a different format, in a different formula, and that research translates. It doesn't necessarily translate. And so what we're doing is the very formula and product that the people will actually buy and use is the exact same product and formula we do all our studies with. And so that to us is very important in terms of the integrity of the science and what we're talking about.
So I want to say that I'm so impressed with this product and impressed with the research, impressed with everything I've been learning about it, and there's even more we could say about its benefits that we didn't have time to say, but I'm getting everybody to go on this product. I'm telling my colleagues about this product. I think it is a game changer, Kieran. And what I want to do to introduce people, I think everyone should be on this product. And I don't say that, I don't think I've ever said that on any of my shows, but I do say that now. I think everyone should be on this product. It will, whether you're exhibiting issues or not, it's going to keep you healthy. And to support people, I have an offer I'm making. So if people go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, and go to my store, and the Mega Sporebiotics, which is the name of the product, is in my store. It's at the very last page if you want to go there. I'm giving a 15% discount on the product so people can try it. You know, a bottle is, there are 30 capsules in there. It can last a month if they take it every day. Do you recommend people take it maybe every other day to start with? What's your recommendation? Can it last for 2 months, do you think?
Yeah. So the Megaspore actually has 60 capsules, and we – what we do is we recommend people titrate up in the first couple of weeks. Yeah, so we have them start with one capsule every other day for the first week, and then after the first week they go to one capsule per day, and then by the third week they're starting on the two capsules per day, which is the actual full dose. And when they take the two capsules per day, they take it together, not one in the morning, one in the evening, and they always take it with food. And what that does is because these bacteria will go in and they'll start killing off bad bacteria, they'll start killing off fungus, things that are growing in there like candida, and we don't want people to have, kind of that die-off reaction that you get.
Okay.
And so when you taper the dose up, all of that is minimized. The discomfort that some people might experience is minimized, but those are all the good things that we need to happen, and so we just want to ease you into it.
Okay, so as we are right at the end of this conversation, I want everyone to know if you're interested getting the discount, it's good until April 14th, and you need to go to my store, my online store at whatwomenmustknow.com to get that discount, and it'll be right there when you go to that product. It'll already be factored in. So we're at the end. Kieran Christian, thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing, for all your inspiration, for what you've taught
me,
everyone here. It's been a great interview. And to all my listeners, thank you. Remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. And until next week, take care and have a great week. Bye for now.